This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. Ballistics experts will fire away, recreating the noisy chaos at the high school in Parkland, Florida, where 17 people were killed in 2018. CBS's Manuel Bojorquez says it's part of a civil suit.
There will be nearly 140 shots fired from a weapon similar to that used by the shooter. What they are trying to do is capture what that would sound like from the perspective of the school resource officer, Scott Peterson, the former school resource officer, who is accused of not doing his job and of failing to engage the shooter and possibly save lives. He has said all along that he did not know where the shots were coming from, but parents have said, look, he had to have known which building they were coming from.
Peterson was acquitted in a criminal case. Hospitals run by one company in five states have been victimized in a sweeping cyber attack. It's forced the cancellation of some surgeries and redirecting of ambulance calls. Overseas, a Russian court has taken new action against top opposition leader Alexei Navalny. CBS's Cammy McCormick.
An extra 19 years was added to his time behind bars. One of Vladimir Putin's fiercest critics, Navalny already was serving more than 11 years. He would be 74 years old by the time he's released from prison in 2050. The U.S. State Department blasted the latest verdict, calling it an unjust conclusion to an unjust trial.
Two U.S. sailors have pleaded not guilty to charges of giving sensitive defense data to China. One, Wenheng Zhao, is accused of accepting bribes for photos and videos. CBS's Mark Strassman on the other suspect.
Arrested separately on espionage charges, Jin Xiao Wei, a 22-year-old machinist mate aboard the USS Essex. Wei allegedly sold the Chinese naval defense information and dozens of technical and mechanical military manuals, all while he was applying to become a U.S. citizen.
The officer even congratulated him when he became a U.S. citizen.
A former Columbus, Ohio K-9 officer has been indicted on murder charges in the death of a 20-year-old black man who was in bed when he was shot by police trying to serve a warrant. The government says employers added 187,000 jobs last month, fewer than expected. But Mark Hamrick of Bankrate.com says it's not clear if it's enough of a slowdown to affect Fed policy.
The Federal Reserve will, of course, take note of this report, including that average hourly earnings continued to rise at an annual rate of 4.4%, well above its 2% inflation target. Before the September policy-setting meeting, Federal Reserve officials will have another employment report to process, as well as much more data on inflation.
This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and max speed with Indeed. Their hiring solution platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Moments like
your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. Eau Claire Fire and Rescue is searching for a missing swimmer. A 26-year-old man, Justin View, was in the Chippewa River near Putnam Park with a group of people tubing when he left the group to snorkel yesterday, and no one in the group has heard from him since. Authorities aren't sure that he is missing in the water, but they plan on searching for him today if nobody hears from him. There's very little change from last week to this week in the National Drought Monitor released on Thursday. The lower Wisconsin River Valley and parts of far northwestern Wisconsin are still in extreme drought, with precipitation up to 10 inches below normal over the last 3 months in some places. About 82% of the state is in some stage of drought. About one-eighth of the state is in extreme drought. That's slightly higher than last week. And after a hot and humid week in the Chippewa Valley, rain showers coming through the area should cool temperatures off going into next week, as highs will reach only into the 80s to start the work week next week. From the Civic Media News Desk in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart-to-heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715-470-1303. Mandy Roberts proudly serves the Central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit thrivent.com/disclosure.
All right, folks, let's get started. Parents, thanks for coming. As many of you know, I'm Coach Mather. Tonight I want to talk about the season, of which I only have one expectation, that everybody gets stronger. When I say get stronger, I'm not referring solely to physical strength. Sure, we'll be in the weight room, we'll be running stairs, but we're also going to focus on developing mental toughness and grit, because those are the characteristics that allow us to achieve greatness both on and off the court. So, how do we develop those things? By getting comfortable with a challenge, by cultivating the confidence necessary to overcome adversity in all forms. That's why I coach. That's my purpose. Every member of this team can lean on me, and I'll teach them how they can lean on themselves and each other.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. It's what's on tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a long-time tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess. Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr. Flowers, vegetables, and crab apples, some of the first Marathon County Fair attractions, and showed us proof those crops could grow there. Started in 1868 by the Agricultural Society, the Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau began as a place to buy and sell those types of goods. Today, it's considered one of the best in the state, featuring displays, demos, and big-name entertainment included with the price of your ticket. The Wisconsin Valley Fair runs August 1st to the 6th in Wausau. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a long-time tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tahlo Ball Show across the Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin. Luke Mather is our co-host, engineer, producer this fine Friday, and we appreciate you being with us live as well across much of Wisconsin. And let me just, this is the best part. If there's any good about this story, here's what it is. I am fortunate and blessed to work for Civic Media, because when things like this happen, here's what we have the ability to do. To spread the truth throughout the 3rd District of Wisconsin. Listen to this coverage. WBZH, Buzz of the North, up in Hayward, which bleeds down into the northern parts of Van Orton's district. WLAK, Lake Air Radio, out of Amory, bleeding down a little bit into Van Orton's district. WCFW, The Tap, in beautiful Chippewa Valley, Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls. WLCX, The Eagle, in La Crosse, in the heart of the 3rd District. WXCO, Wausau, bleeding down a little bit. WVHR, in Wisconsin Rapids, including Stevens Point. WRCE, sister station to WRCO in Southwest Wisconsin. So this is great. And I want people to call in through anywhere, but I want to hear from people in the 3rd Congressional District of Wisconsin, where I spent much of my life, where I helped campaign and elect countless Republicans in my time with the Republican Party. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. So let's get into this. Here is what happened. And Punchbowl News, correct me if I'm wrong, Luke, but they were the first one to report this, and it got picked up and verified by several other news outlets.
I believe Punchbowl was the first one to have photo evidence of Derek Van Orden's congressional office.
All right.
But I believe, from my understanding, one of the Senate pages that was the target of this profanity-laced tirade, that individual took down firsthand account of what was said. I don't even know if they knew who the congressman was, then reported it. And I don't know the first outlet that picked up on the story itself, but Punchbowl News, the first outlet that had the photo of the congressional office.
This was later verified by The Hill, a longtime news publication on Capitol Hill. And I want to make sure that you understand that that Derek Van Orden, Congressman Derek Van Orden, Republican from Prairie du Chien, does not dispute these accusations. He isn't saying, he is not disputing that he said this. So he's basically confirming that he said these things to these teenagers, and it was late at night, the Senate was still in session, and Van Orden had, this part is allegedly, all we know is that there were photographs of several bottles of alcohol in his office. He does not dispute that either. He confirms that's a real photo. But according to him, he had several constituents and staff, and they were drinking together, and then he gave them a tour of the Capitol, which is his right to do as a member of Congress. And they came through the rotunda of the U.S. Capitol, where there were a few pages from the Senate side who were teenagers, who were on their next to last day being interns in the U.S. Capitol. Now, understand, these are high school kids, usually not paid or paid very little. And they do things like get coffee or lunch for the senators, or they bring them, you know, paperwork or whatever, hold the doors open for them. They're not glorious jobs, but they're cool jobs for high school kids. And if you've ever been to the state capitol in Madison, you understand what a beautiful, magnificent building it is. And you look up into the rotunda, into the dome, and people lay down on the floor of the Wisconsin state capitol all the time to take photos of the dome. Unfortunately, in Washington, unless you go on a specific tour, that part of the Capitol is not open to the public generally. But the staff was out there doing the exact same thing, laying down, looking up, getting a good photo, because it's the next to last day they want to get a good photo before they go back home to the respective states. These kids are nominated by both Democrats and Republicans, senators from their home states, to come to Washington to have this great experience. And Van Orden, after whether he was drunk or not, that part's alleged, confirms he was drinking at least, comes upon these teenagers and starts going after him. And I have to be very careful because we're not going to, don't worry, Luke, he's also our executive producer, we're not going to violate any FCC laws. And I apologize if this seems a little rough, but just like with some of the Trump things, I think it's important for everyone to understand what a city member of Congress from Wisconsin actually said. So as Luke said, one of these pages immediately after it happened, wrote this down to make sure it was accurate. And again, Derek Van Orden is not disputing the accuracy of these comments. This is reading from The Hill. Quote, the pages are a group of 16 and 17-year-olds who assist operations. And when the Senate works late, as it did Wednesday night on National Defense Authorization Act amendments, pages generally rest nearby in the rotunda. And here's the quote, and I'll go slowly so I don't mess up. Quote, wake the F up, you little S's. What the F are you all doing? Get the F out of here. You are defiling the space, you pieces of S, Van Orden said, according to the account provided by the page. Quote, who the F are you? Van Orden asked, to which one person said they were Senate pages. Quote, I don't give an F who you are. Get out. You jackasses, get out.
he added. Unquote. I know that's rough. I know some people are going to say, well, why did you read that? Because I want everyone to understand how serious this is. If that kid was yours, if that was your child, your high school kid, your high school granddaughter, grandson, anywhere else, and their boss talked to them like that, what would you say? Now, Van Orton is trying to defend himself, saying that there were dead Civil War Union soldiers buried under the Capitol, and they were defiling the space by laying on their graves. That's patently false. The U.S. Capitol was used as a makeshift hospital during the Civil War. There are no dead soldiers buried under the U.S. Capitol. This guy is unhinged. And remember, it started on January 6, 2021, where Derek Van Orton took a picture of himself in front of the U.S. Capitol on Facebook and let people see it. He claims he didn't go inside, but we have a litany of things that he did do, provable. And we're going to go through them in a minute. But first, to the phones, let's go to Mark in the sack. Mark, we appreciate you. Go ahead.
Mark. Yes, thanks for taking my call. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Am I on the line?
You are. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I just find this pretty disgusting that he did this stuff. I mean, the jackassery that he's displaying here and the lack of self-control that he showed in this particular case shows he's got no business being in the he has no business being a congressman, period. I mean, the lack of judgment in this particular case here should make people question whether he should actually be there or not.
Yep. Mark, I totally agree. I always love you. If you want to call back, I love to take more of your calls. I have another caller just has a few moments. So I'm going to get to her as well. But Mark, totally agree with you. Call back if you want. Dana, I know in La Crosse, in the 3rd Congressional District, I appreciate you listening on the Eagle up there in La Crosse. I know you have a few moments. What say you?
Hey, thanks, Todd. First time calling. I've been listening to you for a while. I enjoy your show.
Well, thank you so much. Hey, we appreciate it. Go ahead.
I think I got this Van Orton guy pegged. You know, he was on a tour with friends of his. And so what I see is he was intoxicated and he was showing off. That's what it was. He was trying to show off a little bit of power to his buddies while he was giving them a show. He thought he could, you know, take it out on some kids. If you remember, he had that episode in the library down here in Prairie du Chien.
Yep.
Over the LGBT, over the book display, he berated some kids there. So the guy's got a tendency, and he's just not a good person. And I really don't see him being reelected. I think he's going to be a short time for us all. Have a great day and a great weekend.
Hey, I really appreciate you calling. Thank you for the call. We really appreciate your listenership up on one of our new stations up there in La Crosse, WLCX, the Eagle in La Crosse. Appreciate that. Let's go up to Eau Claire in the 3rd District as well. Jeannie in Eau Claire, always great to hear from you. Jeannie, what say you?
Well, guys, I'll tell you something. This is just gets my blood pressure going. This guy demonstrates abusive behavior, utilizing profanity on juveniles. I mean, this guy is one sick dog, and he is my representative. And it's putrid, but you know what he does? He grants all kinds of interviews to local television stations. When he was in trouble one other time, he quick had some kind of thing that he was working for the vets, and because he I think his office calls him, but I'm going to check it out, because he's always got one up, like he's doing this great stuff, and they do not cover his reprehensible behavior. I mean, he is just unbelievable. We should kick him out now. There should be ethics violations against us. Those poor kids should not have to suffer with a depraved individual like this man. So anyway,
Jeannie,
it's a rotten thing.
I always appreciate you calling. Correct me if I'm wrong. You're a retired member of the Eau Claire School District, correct? Jeannie hung up. I believe she was. I was just going to ask her. I mean, if this were a teacher, right? If a teacher, an educator went off like that, I mean, what the world What happened to that person? With high school kids.
Yeah, this is inappropriate behavior, to say the least. And right. it's something we got to be talking about.
Yeah. Someone calling here. What's DVO? Not sure exactly what that is.
That's Derek Van Orden.
Oh, geez. See, I don't know it well enough to. That's the abbreviation for him.
That is the way, very similar to other individuals that go by three names, like AOC, LDJ.
He's not that big.
Online, rather than spelling out Derek Van Orden every time, there has been a inclination to just sum it up as DVO online.
That's why I have a young brain like Luke around and Mr. Zomers.
Exactly.
So we have a. Appreciate the text line here on the app. Don't forget, you could download the app on either your Apple or Android device. Just type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media. It takes less than a minute. It's also free. It's what Gail King calls a deal. On the text line from WMDX here in Madison, says a Madison plumber here. What does it mean that DVO, Derek Van Orten, was rebuked? Great question. We're going to get to that with Trigvi Olsen after the break. And this is really important, that both Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader, and Chuck Schumer, the Democratic leader in the Senate, both came out and rebuked Derek Van Orten. And incidentally, Mitch McConnell said that every member of the Senate Republican caucus rebuked him, including Wisconsin Republican Senator Ron Johnson. We're going to ask another former Republican, Trigvi Olsen, who knows the 3rd District well. It's his home area. Back with him and more. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
CBS News Brief. A reenactment of the 2018 school shooting in Parkland, Florida, was held as part of a civil lawsuit against school security officer Scott Peterson. 17 people were killed, including Alex Schachter, his father, Max.
I know it was meaningful for all of the members of Congress that walked through the building today. They saw the aftermath of what happens when you don't prioritize safety and security.
The labor market is cooling just a bit. Unlimited CEO Bob Elliott.
Well, for most workers, they're finally seeing the benefits of real wage growth as the overall inflation rate has moderated and their wage growth has continued to be relatively strong.
Two U.S. Navy sailors are under arrest. CBS's Mark Strassman on one of the cases.
Today's indictment charges 26-year-old Petty Officer Wenheng Zhao betrayed his country, selling military secrets to the Chinese government.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. Eau Claire Fire and Rescue is searching for a missing swimmer. A 26-year-old man, Justin View, was in the Chippewa River near Putnam Park with a group of people tubing when he left the group to snorkel yesterday, and no one in the group has heard from him since. Authorities aren't sure that he is missing in the water, but they plan on searching for him today if nobody hears from him. There's very little change from last week to this week in the National Drought Monitor released on Thursday. The lower Wisconsin River Valley and parts of far northwestern Wisconsin are still in extreme drought, with precipitation up to 10 inches below normal over the last 3 months in some places. About 82% of the state is in some stage of drought. About one-eighth of the state is in extreme drought. That's slightly higher than last week. And after a hot and humid week in the Chippewa Valley, rain showers coming through the area should cool temperatures off going into next week, as high will reach only into the 80s to start the work week next week. From the Civic Media News Desk in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
With one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
All right, folks, let's get started. Parents, thanks for coming. As many of you know, I'm Coach Mather. Tonight I want to talk about the season, of which I only have one expectation, that everybody gets stronger. When I say get stronger, I'm not referring solely to physical strength. Sure, we'll be in the weight room, we'll be running stairs, but we're also going to focus on developing mental toughness and grit, because those are the characteristics that allow us to achieve greatness both on and off the court. So, how do we develop those things? by getting comfortable with a challenge, by cultivating the confidence necessary to overcome adversity in all forms. That's why I coach. That's my purpose. Every member of this team can lean on me, and I'll teach them how they can lean on themselves and each other.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Flowers, vegetables, and crab apples, some of the first Marathon County Fair attractions, and showed us proof those crops could grow there. Started in 1868 by the Agricultural Society, the Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau began as a place to buy and sell those types of goods. Today, it's considered one of the best in the state, featuring displays, demos, and big-name entertainment included with the price of your ticket. The Wisconsin Valley Fair runs August 1st to the 6th in Wausau. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to the Tallball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 1:33 across the state of Wisconsin, particularly in the 3rd Congressional District. We cover nearly the entire 3rd Congressional District now across Civic Media. Mr. Mathers with a fine song there, talking about this incident at the United States Capitol on Wednesday. And there was, and it's important to remember, Congressman Derek Van Orten is not disputing either the photo that has been put on social showing several bottles of booze in his office in the U.S. Capitol, also not disputing the quote that I read you before the break, the profanity-laced quote with the F-bombs and the S-words. Not denying any of that. But people like former Governor Scott Walker and Joe Hendrick and others are tweeting out trying to make it about this alcohol. Trying to say, well, you know, all Wisconsinites drink alcohol. Well, not all. What they're forgetting is this verbal abuse against teenagers. We're going to go through more of this, but before we do, we're going to bring in our ongoing contributor on Wednesday. He is a senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, a native of River Falls area in Wisconsin, a longtime Republican staffer, particularly in the 3rd District, along with myself. Like myself, we've both since left the Republican Party. Trigvi Olson, appreciate you making this time for us on a special appearance in what I think is not just the top story in the state, but as you and I discussed last night, it is increasingly a national story.
Wow. It's a national story when Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer and the entire Republican caucus rebukes you for acting like Clint Eastwood in, you know, the movie where he's the grumpy old man on his lawn. Get off my lawn. I mean, that's Derek Van Orten, right? Apparently, exactly. You get a few drinks and get the F off my lawn. He's not, clearly he's not the guy you want as your neighbor if you have kids in Western Wisconsin.
But before I go on, I just want to interrupt. For people who haven't heard, here's the quick reply from the Senate leader last night. Democrat Chuck Schumer said, quote, "I understand that late last night, a member of the House majority thought it appropriate to curse at some of these young people, these teenagers in the rotunda. I was shocked when I heard about it. I am further shocked at his refusal to apologize to these young people." And immediately following, Republican leader Mitch McConnell, who Trigvi used to did some work for, he said this, yeah, quote, "I want to associate myself with the remarks of the majority leader. Everybody on this side of the aisle feels exactly the same way," unquote. Trigvi, explain the importance and significance of those two quotes.
Well, in a city and era where we don't have a lot of bipartisan agreement, the fact that both Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer are saying, you know, that acting, again, telling a bunch of kids to get off your lawn when it isn't even your lawn because you've been boozing it up in your office probably is not winning exactly the way that he thinks it is.
Who would have thought that Derek Van Orten could have brought us together?
It's like, honestly, like Joe and Scott and all these guys, you know, I worked on Capitol Hill early on in my career when Steve Gunderson was representing the 3rd, and I will tell you, as the low man on the totem pole in the office, like at the very bottom rung, I was the guy who had to walk down on Friday and get the beer from the liquor store. And we'd go in the back and everybody have a beer and, you know, decompress and talk about the week. But like And so that part of it is less shocking to me than, quite frankly, how they're responding and what they're trying to make this about. It's outrageous. You know, everybody in Wisconsin drinks. Well, yeah, a lot of people in Wisconsin like to have a few beers. I'm one of them. But like to use that as a cop out and to try and make this that they're attacking beer drinkers, when in reality, Derek Van Horn should just do the decent thing. He should apologize. Mm-hmm. Don't be the get off my lawn neighbor that no one in Prairie du Chien or across Western Wisconsin wants to have. Be the bigger person. Be the Navy SEAL that you try and purport to be, a man of integrity and honor. But he's not.
Well, that's what's so weird. And you and I both, I know, have a lot of respect. When I worked for Congressman Scott Klug for 4 years, I handled military affairs. Spent time in the Capitol, spent time on Capitol Hill. Huh. I did not serve, but I have the utmost respect for everyone who put on the uniform and did. And so this is not to take away from Derek Van Orton's service to country, but what I find odd, Trigvi, and you tell me in your travels if you feel the same way, usually you worked for John McCain, a national American war hero. Usually it's the guys who don't say a lot about their service who saw the worst. The guys who continued to brag about it really didn't do that much.
Yeah, that's usually the thing. I mean, McCain, obviously, because he was such a high-profile figure, but he didn't really talk about it a lot. And when he would talk about it, it wasn't in terms of his own heroics. He always talked about it in terms of the greatest men he ever knew. And I can tell you, having spent some time around him during the campaign in 07 and 08, and when I was working for him at IRI, he was happiest when he was with those guys that he had literally been through I don't know what words I'm allowed to use on the radio or not, but like you know, the Hanoi Hilton was a pretty nasty place. So, you know, but those guys were the people that he formed a bond with, and he wouldn't talk about it a lot. I just think, I mean, honestly, with Van Orton, he loves to tell us about his background, and that's great. But what do people really know about him beyond that? And I'll tell you what they now know. People in the Wisconsin across the 3rd District should know this guy is embarrassing them.
Right.
He's embarrassing them. And why should they be surprised? This is a guy who was at the Capitol on January 6th. He says he didn't go in. I believe that that must be the case because he hasn't been tried as somebody who went in, but he was there. And so why should we be surprised? It's embarrassing. If you're a Republican who's not part of the MAGA cult, you should think about this. This guy is an embarrassment, which is why I called you last night and said I'd love to come on and talk about that. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for the state of Wisconsin back home. It's embarrassing. He isn't going to have people in the Senate or in the House who are going to want to work with him the way that people wanted to work with Steve Gunderson or Ron Kind or Scott Klug or even, you know, Steele or any of the others. Because who's going to want to work with somebody who's like that?
I don't know too many people. Let's go to the phones quickly. We have joining us our colleague and host of the Great Maggie Dawn Show from 6 until 7 across the Civic Media Network. She is an attorney herself calling from Milwaukee. Maggie Dawn, always great to have you along. Great program yourself. Thanks for taking the time to call in. What say you?
Thanks, Todd. Really appreciative that you took my call. Two things. First is, I think from time to time, while we should always honor and lift up and elevate and be very thankful for the service of anyone who spent time in the military, especially those who've been captured in action like Senator McCain, it is okay to laud service and applaud Mr. Van Orton for stepping up. But that does not and should not inoculate them from criticism, as we're doing today. John McCain cheated on his wife, Cindy. It's widely reported. He had some massive ethical lapses. He claimed to sort of be about clean government. That was basically baloney. If you need detail on this, Steve Schmidt's blog, he basically ran McCain's 08 campaign, is just scathing about this. I say all of this to simply say, Representative Van Orton's actions are entirely disqualifying. You get drunk with your buddies and cuss out a bunch of volunteers who are working in the state capitol when you yourself participated in a violent attempt to overthrow our government. How dare you, sir?
Yeah. Thanks so much for taking my call, Todd. I appreciate your
appreciate you calling in, and people can join you tonight from 6 until 7 across the Civic Media Radio Network on a rerun, because you don't have a new show on Friday, but they can listen to another Best Of show, correct?
Exactly. All right. It should be a barn burner tonight, all right, as always.
Thanks for taking the call. I got the time, Mickey. Thank you so much. Trigby, here's the question I have, is that for a guy who promotes his military service, usually you run presidential campaigns and everything in between. Mm-hmm. You don't hear a lot about those who served with Derek Van Orten stepping up to help his campaign.
No, you don't. I mean, John McCain, Maggie mentioned Steve Schmidt. Well, Steve Schmidt can tell you. I mean, John McCain was given up for finished in 2007. And what he ended up doing, which might have been Steve's moment of brilliance, was Steve suggested to McCain that he get out with his buddies who he served in the Hanoi Hilton with and go drive around to Iowa and stay in Super 8s and just enjoy life a little bit in New Hampshire. And that's what they did. Bud right. Day and all these guys. Yeah. And I mean, these guys are like people who've won the Congressional Medal of Honor and the Presidential Medal of Freedom. These are true heroes. I haven't ever seen that with Van Orden. I don't know. Maybe they do go out and campaign for him. But I haven't ever seen it in the way that was true with McCain. The other thing I would say, you know, Maggie alluded to some of the stuff with McCain. Here's the thing. John McCain understood that he was a deeply flawed human being, and he was the first one to admit it. Mm-hmm. And I can assure you, having been on the receiving end on one occasion, actually two, of John McCain's temper when something wasn't going right, that it was not pretty. But I can also tell you the thing about it is he said he was sorry afterwards that he lost his temper. And the contrast between that and Derek Van Orden is staggering to me. And quite frankly, it's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing. And
it's embarrassing. He's embarrassed himself. And honestly, he should just man up and find those kids and say, hey, I lost my temper. I'm sorry. And he should be a role model to those kids, not a demagogue trying to create a scandal of his own making that gets him on Fox News so he can be a talking head. Because Derek Van Orten is a classic case. Tommy Thompson used to always say, two kinds of politicians, those who want to do and those who want to be. Derek Van Orten clearly is demonstrating himself to be one who just wants to be. And the people who are defending him, like Scott Walker, are also the kind of politicians. They don't really want to do anything. They just want to be somebody.
I know you got to hop off after this segment, so I want to get to this quickly. Yeah. When we come back, we're going to go through kind of the litany of things that Derek Van Orten has public, their public record. And some of these things from attacking during the campaign, attacking a private citizen online, threatening to publish their personal information, going after another teenager in Prairie du Chien at the library for having a gay pride display, being arrested or charged by the TSA for having loaded 9mm in an Iowa airport. And then calling, saying that leftists, quote unquote, cannot be Christian, and saying that he supports gay people, but then brags about being part of a church that equates homosexuality with bestiality and incest. And then this temper, I mean, it just seems to add up. We talked about this on Wednesday in the couple of minutes we have left. This to me, and you correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm overstating this, it seems like this is the kind of guy that's been radicalized.
Yeah, I mean, I think he wouldn't have been at the Capitol on January 6th if he weren't. I mean, that's what we talked about on Wednesday. I think here's the foundational question that I think you all should be asking and people should be asking. The major donors in the business community in the 3rd District, he's from Prairie du Chien, I would suspect, I don't know this, but that there's some pretty big businesses that are based in Prairie du Chien, and they have tradition of supporting Republican candidates. All those business people, like, for example, the ones that have a very prominent chain of gas stations across the state of Wisconsin that's based in Prairie du Chien. If they have been giving money to Derek Van Orten, people should be asking, why are you giving money to somebody that's embarrassing the state? And quite frankly, by extension, if the owners or the former owners or business people are supporting somebody like that, it's embarrassing to their reputations.
Exactly. And you and I both worked in politics at the state and federal level. Yes.
When and I don't what, even like going after donors. I really don't.
But this
is embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. But you and I worked in politics long enough. Yes, our own bosses probably use profanity. Guys like the late, great Michael Ellis, you know, he was famous for it. But you know what? Oh. Mike Ellis never went after kids. He never went after teenagers. And that's, to me, what makes it sick and abusive.
Yes, completely. And honestly, they would always figure out a way, whether it was Mike Ellis or Tommy or any of them.
Dale Schultz?
They would always figure out a way to Dale Schultz. Right. They would always figure out, if they lost their temper with you, a way to make it right.
Exactly. And apologize.
He is unwilling. And in these cases, these weren't even employees of his. These are just kids.
Exactly. Trigvy Olson, really appreciate you taking the time. Appreciate your perspective. Join us next Wednesday for more Trigvy. Stay tuned now for your calls and more after this on the Todd Allbowles Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you, Trivi. Really appreciate it.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a long-time tradition, which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr. Flowers, vegetables, and crab apples, some of the first Marathon County Fair attractions, and showed us proof those crops could grow there. Started in 1868 by the Agricultural Society, the Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau began as a place to buy and sell those types of goods. Today, it's considered one of the best in the state, featuring displays, demos, and big-name entertainment included with the price of your ticket. The Wisconsin Valley Fair runs August 1st to the 6th in Wausau. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a long-time tradition, which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
The Todd Allbowles Show on the Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin and on the Civic Media app. It is now 10 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock. Luke Mathers, our co-host, engineer, and producer this hour, in for the vacationing Mr. Zommers. I want to thank Trevi Olson from the Lincoln Project for making time for us on a special appearance today. He'll be back in his regular time slot next Wednesday, just after the 1 o'clock hour. Really great insight. Because Trevi grew up in the western part of the state in the 3rd District. He worked for former Congressman Steve Gunderson, 16-year Republican congressman that represented the 3rd District with distinction. He and I have worked on, I was trying to think how many races, Republican races, I have worked on in the 3rd District over the years, not just Congress, but for Assembly, for State Senate. There's a lot. So we are in a couple of, you know, nothing wrong with being a lefty or progressive, but the point is we're not a couple of lefties here attacking a sitting Republican. We're people that actually were out there and have got helped elect several Republicans and have since left the party. Well, the party left us. That's more accurate. What we're talking about, if you're just joining us, is the sitting incumbent congressperson, Derek Van Orten, Republican from Prairie du Chien, on Wednesday night going through the state capitol, giving a tour with supposedly constituents after imbibing in some alcohol, allegedly drunk. We don't know that. but he at least has admitted that the photo shared on social media was in fact accurate, that there were several bottles of alcohol in his office, came upon several teenagers. Well, not several, but at least some setup pages. And according to, and it's important to remember that none of this is being disputed by Congressman Van Orden. He doesn't dispute that it happened. And I'm not going to read the whole quote again, but just according to The Hill, these were 16 and 17-year-old high school kids who were there for a summer internship. It was a couple of days before they were going to go home, and they were laying on the ground in the rotunda in order to look up and take photos of the U.S. Capitol Dome as a remembrance, which is a common occurrence both in Madison and in D.C. as a former legislative staffer myself. And Van Orden happened upon these Senate pages. And one line, wake the F up, you little S's. And it went on from there. And numerous times he uses the F word and the S word, calls them jackasses, and says to get out of here. Van Orden does not dispute any of that happened. And he's trying to say, well, you know, I was defending the burial site of Confederate soldiers, saying there were soldiers buried, or Confederate, Union soldiers buried under the Capitol. False. It was used as a hospital during the Civil War. And he won't apologize. And here's the thing. Both Chuck Schumer, the Democratic leader in the Senate, and Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader in the Senate, went to the Senate floor and rebuked Derek Van Orden. And the Republican leader, Mitch McConnell, said that everyone, including U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, felt the same way. Everyone. And if you work in either Madison's capital, the state capital, or in the federal capital, it's very territorial, all right? If you work for the House, you're a House person. And if you work for the Senate, you're a Senate person. And it's very unusual for a member of one body to come upon anybody involved in the other body and take action. The normal course of action is you would go to the House Sergeant of Arms or the House Chief Clerk or a House leader and say, here's what these people from your body did. You fix it. Very unusual. And as seen by a rare time of unanimity between Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer, they do not take kind for their institution being attacked by a member of the opposite house. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go up to the Buzz of the North, our brand new station in beautiful Hayward. And from Hayward, Kurt, we appreciate you listening and calling in. Kurt, what say you?
I was wondering, did every 16, 17, 18-year-old I know of carries a phone around? Do they have any videotape of it?
None has surfaced that I know of, but again, this individual, these pages wrote this down, and again, Van Orden has been asked by numerous press. He has not denied that he said any of that.
Okay, I've never seen a, I don't think I've seen a 17-year-old in 3 years who hasn't had a phone with them. And also, I was wondering, when did the Republican Party leave you exactly, and you dropped out?
Sure, I'll answer both of those before the break here. Just to clarify on not having a phone, it's been a while. I haven't worked in the House since 1998. And it may be, there are rules in both the House and the Senate. It may be a Senate rule that the pages can't have cell phones with them. Luke?
I took a tour recently, and you cannot take any electronics like that onto the Senate floor. So I'm assuming if they were, the Senate was in session, and they were going back and forth between the rotunda and the Senate chamber, that yes, they would have been without a phone, because it's not something that you can bring into the Senate chamber.
Yeah. So that would be my guess, Kurt. That's been a great point. That's a great point.
I've seen senators with their phones.
Senators can.
They're allowed. Members are allowed. Pages and staff are not.
Okay.
But if I can, go ahead.
But you were in the Republican Party in Wisconsin 25 years ago.
No, for 25 years. I got involved in 1980 when I was 12 years old at the Ronald Reagan race and Steve Gunderson and Bob Caston. And I left in 2011 after serving with State Senator Dale Schultz, who was a majority leader for a while, after I was part of a Republican closed caucus in which they were discussing the so-called voter ID bills. And they said in closed caucus that the purpose of them was to decrease voting for places like college campuses in Milwaukee, which meant black and brown people. And I was sickened by that, to watch a party that I had worked for so long, and it was not everybody in the room, but several. And I couldn't simply be a part of a party that was working to take people's constitutional rights away. And that was the straw that broke the camel's back. And that's why I left.
I was fortunate enough to be able to ask Governor Doyle what he thought about voter ID. And, of course, he was against it. His mother was for it.
That's fine. And you know what? I'm fine with having voter ID. Don't get me wrong. If people want to have, but what we have in Wisconsin is not just voter ID, but they took steps such as closing DMVs, not allowing college IDs, making it very, very hard for young people and older people and minority people to vote in the state of Wisconsin. So I'm okay with having a voter ID, but it has to be one that's easily accessible, legal, but easily accessible. And so that's why I left the party, because it simply no longer represents. And since then, now it really is a Republican Party. It's become the party of Donald Trump, which is something I absolutely rebuke and don't agree with. Kurt, thanks for the call. Appreciate you in Hayward. Stay tuned now. Hour number two, Luke and I will go through what's happening. Extremism and a possible U.S. government shutdown, Trump new charges, and Friday freebies or something like that. We have state fair tickets to give away in the next hour. And Luke Mathers, don't go anywhere now. This is the Todd Lovell Show. Hour number two on the way across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' Hot Cheetos Chicken on a Stick? Deep-fried Old Fashioned? Or Pino Pretzel Popper Brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino Pretzel Popper Brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Alba, along with our producer, engineer, and co-host for this fine Friday. It is Mr. Luke Mathers, our executive producer, and also the co-host of Town Call with William Walter every afternoon in the show that precedes ours. Great to have you along, Mr. Mathers.
Glad to be with you, Todd.
Yeah. Is it just me, or does I sound very tinny in my headphones?
I'm hearing it too, okay, so I'm on it.
As long as we're going, you know, I am a lot. I'm a little tinny myself. I'm kind of like the Tin Man. Sometimes I don't have a heart, some people say. But anyway, we're on the air. That's all that matters. Great to have you along in hour two on a Friday as well. The 28th of July, 2023. Mr. Aaron Zommers is taking a well-deserved day off in the DUP. The Upers, as they say up there in the Upper Peninsula. Looking forward to this hour. I'm going to continue on just a bit more with Derek Van Orten, Republican congressman from the 3rd District, who on Wednesday night went on a profane-laced tirade of verbally abusive behavior against 16 and 17-year-old pages in the U.S. Capitol. And well, there we go. Look at that. Look at that. Mr. Mathers is on it. Just like that, he fixes it. That's fantastic. Appreciate that. So now we're here. Now we're sounding great. Anyway, so Van Orten went on this profanity-laced tirade. He was rebuked on the Senate. This was a House member going after 16 and 17-year-old Senate pages. This did not set well with any member of the U.S. Senate. Both Chuck Schumer, the leader of the Senate, the Democratic leader, rebuked him, and immediately following, the Republican leader, Mitch McConnell, gets up and also rebukes him and says that every member, everyone in the Senate Republican caucus, including Wisconsin U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, joined in rebuking the actions of Republican Derek Van Orten. Extraordinary to see Mitch McConnell speak for the entire United States Senate. So we're going to go through this a little bit as well. We mentioned last hour about this state fair thing down in Iowa with good old pudding fingers Ron DeSantis, because he eats pudding with his fingers and also mashed potatoes and spaghetti and other stuff.
I don't know if you want to. I don't refer to him as pudding fingers because it's one of those line of attacks almost from Donald Trump. And I'm just like, I don't know.
I get you. I just think it's funny because there's actual footage. And what amuses me about it as a staffer, a former staffer, is that his staff is reticent to ever let him eat in public because they know this about him. And I just know from being a former staffer, there's always those things like, oh, geez, I hope our boss doesn't do this. And to have one of them be, we can't let him eat in public.
It's the opposite end of the spectrum of John Kasich and Ron DeSantis then. Because yes. Kasich, literally in 2016 when he was running for president, just everything was, every stop was a food event. This was like the one thing that I remember about John Kasich running for president.
Well, here's some our friend Scott Klug, my former boss in the U.S. House. Here was his kind of quirk. Whenever he was out in public at any event, he always drank Coke from a can. You want to know why? Can you think why?
I'm trying to guess.
It was all about image. He said, "Todd, if I have a Coke in a glass, people can take a photo of that and they can use it as a campaign piece and say Klug was drinking alcohol or whatever. They can't do that." This is before you could Photoshop stuff.
Before you just take the alcohol and put it in the Coke can, though.
I guess we didn't think that far ahead. But that was why. You know, it's right, Coke in a can. So anyway, Luke has dialed up this cut. This is Ron DeSantis, Florida governor, running for president, down in a county fair in Iowa. And he comes across these kids and a family, and he's shaking hands. And he comes across this kid, and here's what happens.
Yeah, it's good to meet you, too. Oh, what is that? An icy? Yeah, that's probably a lot of sugar, huh? Good to see you. All right, 4-H, Wayne County.
The sound doesn't quite do it justice, but he kind of snarls at this kid. Like, oh, that probably has a lot of sugar in it. And then he just turns his back on the poor. It's a county fair. You eat elephant ears and caramel apples and Slurpees. That's what the fair is for.
I'm having, how is he... never seen an icy before out in public. Where's this guy living that he's never seen an icy?
He probably doesn't like it because he can't eat it with his hands. He has to drink it out of a cup.
But still, even if you don't like one, how have you never seen an icy before?
I know. Yeah, what is that? He asks what it is.
Yeah. I don't get it.
I mean, talk about a guy that lives in a bubble.
Or under a rock or something. Right. I don't know, but it's
I'm not
weird.
Sure, I'm not sure we'll get to it or not. But a Republican, by the way, his ongoing war with Disney, apparently now Ron DeSantis has introduced legislation, or this little committee that controls the Disney area. They're trying to defund the Disney World Police. I'm not making this up. A Republican is not a Democrat, not a progressive, not a lefty, not a left. A Republican, Ron DeSantis, is trying to defund the Disney police. I'm not making that up, because he hates Disney so much.
I don't even know what to say.
I know. What do you say to that?
That is just one of those.
What do you say to that?
That is wild.
Wild and wacky stuff, as Johnny Carson used to say. We're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit more about this Van Orton stuff, which is wild and wacky in and of itself. Going to give you the timeline, what's going on there. Take your calls as well. And also, mega extremism. It could hold the U.S. Congress hostage, and we could have a government shutdown. We'll talk about it after this. 844-967-2789. Take your calls. This is the Todd Allball Show.